Area Voices tells the arts, culture, and history stories of northern Minnesota. And Earth Day was Monday. It marked the 49th annual celebration of Earth Day across the globe. And arts and respect for the earth go hand in hand in Minnesota. The Legacy Amendment has supported projects promoting both arts, cultural heritage, and clean water initiatives in our environment for the past decade now. And this Saturday and Sunday, the Bemidji State University campus, the second annual Arts of the Earth celebration will take place. And it's shaping up to be a weekend chock full of a wide variety of events that reflect and promote both respect for Mother Earth and the arts. And here to tell us more about the happenings and talk about sustainability is Erica Bailey Johnson. She's the sustainability coordinator for Bemidji State University. And I think Catherine Gonzalez is going to join us in just a few minutes. So thanks for stopping by, Erica.
Hey, thanks for asking me. It's really good to be here.
Well, I've been looking at the schedule for the weekend, and I think it looks fantastic. There are workshops about aquatic invasive species, decluttering and simplifying, planning trips to the BWCA, wolves, raising chickens, hydroponic gardening, maple syruping, needle felting. I see Marin and Paige Carter, who we've had on the morning show. They're going to be talking about zero waste living, and John Latimer will be talking about phenology. And that's just a sample of what's going to be happening. What else is going to be going on?
Yeah, we're really excited because we last year had just tried this event for a few hours on one day. And it was just a way to bring our two amazing kind of communities together around Earth and around the arts. And we had so much fun kind of planning and doing this event last year that we thought that we'd try to make it a little bit bigger. We actually had heard that about 15 years ago or so, there used to be a event in the Hobson Memorial Union where they would take the whole building and kind of reserve all the spaces and then just have all these different things going on. And we thought, oh, that sounds kind of cool. Like, let's see if we can figure that out. And so we actually this fall had reserved the whole Hobson Memorial Union, all the little rooms, all the big rooms, and just tried to figure out what parts we wanted to put into those spaces. And so it's gotten, I think, bigger than any of us maybe had imagined in the fall, but that's been really fun to figure out. And so workshops are definitely one part that we've added this year, and we're really excited about having these community members share with everyone their knowledge and their expertise and their experiences. And we have lots of other things going on too. So this year, another fun piece is we've been having help from Sharon Nordstrom to get a lot of vendors to participate this year. So we have about 30 vendors and about 20 booths. So we have a whole couple rooms full of different folks that are selling their local, you know, handmade items. And then we have a lot of other, like in the whole building, we have a lot of artwork that's being displayed. Over 30 artists that are going to be displaying their art. We have music too. So we're really excited to have the Occasionals are going to be playing on Saturday from 11 to 1. And then on Sunday, we have Corey Medina and Brothers playing from 11 to 1. And then those will be kind of the main like band music performances. And then we also have acoustic music performances outside of those times. So there's people like Cage Jambor, Curtis Turkanen. There's, I think, Donna Gaston. There's a bunch of love local musicians that are going to be playing in kind of like a coffee shop atmosphere. So we're going to have a coffee shop that's open the whole time. And so from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, there's just lots of stuff going on. And that, again, is just kind of a sample of the things that are going on. Good morning, Catherine.
Good morning. So also there's documentaries being shown.
Yeah, yes.
Throughout, is it one day or both days?
Yep, both days. We have one whole room dedicated to documentaries. And we decided there was a lot of newer ones that had come out that we hadn't even seen yet, like The Awake, A Dream for Standing Rock is kind of one of those newer ones that we wanted to showcase. And then we also have some good old standbys like Just Eat It, which is about our food waste in the U.S. And then we have one new one that's called Lunch Love Community, about that's got different little short films that'll be spread throughout the 2 days. And so there's a, and then there's The Lorax.
Yeah.
So any kids, if they haven't seen that one yet, that's a, or big kids, little kids, whatever. I love that movie. So that's another good one that's in that schedule. And all the best place to find that information is on our website for sustainability office at BSU. And all you have to do, it's kind of hard to remember all the whole long web address, but just go to the BSU homepage, and I even do this. I just type in sustainability in the search. I just type in SUS mm-hmm. and sustainability pops up, and you just click on that and you'll see Arts of the Earth Festival as one of the main pages on our homepage. So
when I was looking through the schedule, I got, you know, it inspires your thought process a little bit when you start looking at all these topics. Mm-hmm. And it got me wondering how about food waste. You just mentioned that movie, mm-hmm. Just Eat It. I've not seen that film, but I will now.
Yeah.
How are we doing with food waste, and what does BSU do with their food waste?
Oh, that's a good question. And we are constantly working on that. One of the things that always just stands out in my mind about that film is they say that there's around 40% of the food that's produced for us to be consumed is ultimately thrown away. And so that's a huge number. And to me, that, like in our own family, that's just something that we don't do. I remember my son when he was like 2 or 3, when he had his, I think, one of his first babysitters. And when she came, or when I came home, my son came up to me and he's like, "Mom, she threw away the extra macaroni and cheese," you know? So it was this, like, they, we know that that's just, it's a, all of the embedded energy, all of the people involved, all of the, I mean, everything that goes into producing that for us to consume is amazing. And so to throw it away just seems like a crazy thing. But that film really gets at that point and tries to encourage us to think about what we're purchasing, how we're purchasing, even like people that are selling it. How is that process? How can we change that process and try to make it so we're not throwing away as much as we are currently? So there's a lot of places for improvement. And at BSU, one of the things that we've been working on the last couple years is a food recovery network program. And this was initiated by Jordan Lutz. He is the sustainability project manager. He's my partner in the office. And he had really wanted, he's really passionate about food and food waste and trying to do better with that in our office and in our campus. So he started a food recovery network. And so when there's food waste that our dining service providers can let us know, and then we have outlets that we can bring the food to that's still in good shape, you know, still edible, still in good shape. And so we have kind of a process for that. And then there's just a lot of other things that we do, such as to-go containers that are mm-hmm. reusable. We have a reusable mug incentives for students. We have even got onto the straw bandwagon, and mm-hmm. we have like stainless steel straws that we've been giving away. And then every semester for the past about 2 years, we've been doing a project called Weigh the Waste. And so for a full week, we collect all the food waste in the Lakeside Food Court and also Wally's Dining Services. And we weigh that and then try to educate students and have them just think about it. You know, because a lot of people just don't even realize that they're throwing food away. Like, it's just like, oh, I'm not hungry anymore. It's good for me not to eat at all. Like, so they just throw it away and it's gone out of sight, out of mind. So we're trying to just make that be visible and trying to figure out ways to incentivize and educate students and faculty and staff on what we can do better on campus.
Is there like a community compost situation anywhere that you could take your, you know, sometimes we'll have some strawberries that go get kind of nasty mm-hmm. before you get to the bottom of them?
Yeah, we do. Like, personally in our family, we have a compost. At BSU, we've been talking about composting for quite a while now. And trying to figure it out. It's kind of hard with our location since we're right in the middle of the city and we don't really have a lot of space for for that type of thing. And so we were initially looking at all kinds of different options. What we're pretty excited about now is we have an opportunity to work with the county on a pilot composting project.
Glegg.
Thank you so much, and thank you for calling me and letting me have this opportunity with your listeners.
Tickets for the One Act Triple Play Thriller event are available at edgecenterarts.org and at the Timber Rose or at the door at the Edge Center for the Arts in Big Fork.
Work with our big dining hall, Wally's, on campus. They will be able to put all of the food waste into this big, huge bin that will compact it, and then it'll go to a compost facility.
Huh. That's Erica Bailey Johnson. She's the sustainability coordinator for Bemidji State University, and she's one of the organizers, probably the main organizer, for the Arts of the Earth event going on Saturday and Sunday at BSU. You just mentioned the county, and Beltrami County has a new recycling situation, which has caught me off guard when I go to recycle, because it feels you throw everything in one bin, the containers, the bottles, glass, right alongside the cardboard. Mm-hmm. How is it effective? I feel like it feels weird to not separate it, and it makes me question it.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's a lot of routine, right, that we are used to. And when I first started my job about 10 years ago, that was something that people were looking into, a single sort. It's called single sort recycling. And so they were wondering about starting that in our community. And so I tried to do my due diligence and asked around, and I asked the MPCA, and they actually had just got done with a big study, and they found that at that time, single sort recycling increases volume of how much is people put into recycling bins, because it's a lot easier, right? Like, you can just throw everything into one bin. But what it decreases is the quality of the recyclables. So as you can imagine, you get your kind of, you know, cans and your whatever that's got a little bit left in it, and you throw it in with the fiber. And so a lot of the fiber actually becomes not recyclable anymore. So that's one risk to doing it that way. But we actually just got back from a Foston waste recovery facility tour last week. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to see they have a really quite innovative material recovery facility, it's called. And so all of the recyclables, all of even our household garbage goes there, and it gets like sorted. And so it does, I mean, they have a really good system and process for separating it out. I do think a lot of the fiber products are not getting as recycled with the single sort.
Okay.
But hopefully there's a higher volume. And I think we'll only have to see, since it just started, how all of that progresses. But yeah, I'm curious too.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the volume, it may all kind of come out in the wash, if you will.
Yeah. And I think like our message has always been recycling is kind of the last on the hierarchy. I mean, we should be reducing and reusing. That's always been my message. So instead of thinking about recycling as the feel good, be good, it takes energy, time, labor, money to recycle, and resources. So we should be trying to think about using less and reducing and reusing and rethinking and refusing, as another people say too. So there's a lot of ways to think about waste in a different way, other than kind of like recycling as the be good end all solution for our waste issues.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what are some things we can do just as regular folks that aren't, you know, you think about recycling and you think about the straws, but what are just some other things that maybe we're overlooking that are so simple that might make a big impact?
Catherine, do you want to speak to this one? I know one of the things that we've been doing is just refusing. And, you know, bags are kind of the default plastic bags. Mm-hmm. And so my boys are kind of trained. We're all trained. Like, if we go into a gas station, we get something, it's like, oh, no, you know, we just right away are like, you know, we don't need a bag. And so we just carry our stuff. So that's one thing that I think is really easy to do, is use your cloth bags or don't use a bag at all, and just carry it out if you just have a small
quantity. Throw it in your purse.
Yeah.
If you're carrying a purse, use that as your bag.
Yeah. I mean, to me, that's all tied into our consumer behavior. So it starts on even like it, I don't know, for us, it's in our household, it's really considering what's the packaging, you know, and ultimately, do we really need it? You know, usually, like, we also compost. So really looking at, like, the low-waste option is always my go-to. And then, you know, and that trickles just in every direction. That trickles in energy use. It trickles in water use. It trickles in food. I mean, everything.
Right. Turn all the water off while you're doing your while you're brushing your teeth. Mm-hmm. Little
right.
things like
There's
that.
So many mm-hmm. ways in which, you know, it's just really about being, I think, living more consciously mm-hmm. is really, it's amazing what happens when you do that. And the choices really are no longer, I mean, they just are effortless because it's part of your livelihood and your lifestyle instead of, you know, like, I think for some people, it might seem like a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And then the convenience piece, I think for me, the single sorting, I think my personal take and my concern is because back to behavior, it doesn't allow you to be as mindful. I mean, there is something really powerful about having to be part of the process of sorting that really helps you kind of see how things are used or, you know, what kind of tendencies you have in your own household. And so I think that that's really the mindset and just like your awareness around how you use everything is really important.
Right. Be more conscientious and then that becomes your habit. So that was Catherine Gonzalez. She's been part of the organizing committee for the Arts of the Earth Festival going on this weekend at Bemidji State University. She's here with Erica Bailey Johnson, who is a sustainability coordinator at BSU. And we could talk, and we should talk more about this. I know we didn't even get to talking about the Citizens Climate Lobby, which is doing some really important things, and they have some workshops going on this weekend as well. I encourage you to go to the BSU website. Just search for sustainability. You'll find a whole workup of everything going on at BSU Saturday and Sunday. And reuse, recycle, refuse. Mm-hmm. What
Rethink.
Else? Rethink. So thanks, ladies, for coming
Reimagine.
In. Reimagine. And again, the Arts of the Earth event is going on this weekend at BSU. Mm-hmm. Thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, thank you for having us.